Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you into this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. I know I've kind of been inactive, per se, recently on the podcast. There's just not a lot of stuff to talk about, and you know, when stuff comes out, I don't want to do an episode on that one thing. So I've kind of been doing skip two, and then do one, then skip two. But as the new Hub City news, all that stuff comes out as we inch closer to play, I will be doing podcasts on the regular Tuesday-Friday schedule, releasing at 5 a.m. Central. And then, of course, once the season starts and the regular season gets going and all that stuff in November, December, whenever that starts, basically whenever there is gameplay, I will have a podcast out for you every single weekday. So every single day of the week, you can expect a podcast from your very own, the Chi-Town Hockey Pod. We got a good amount of stuff to talk about today. We have a couple of updates from around the league. We have the draft lottery, which went crazy. A little bit of a discussion topic when it comes to the Blackhawks logo. I'll be discussing that a little bit. We have the breaking news coming just the other day about a new CBA agreement between the NHL and the NHLPA. Very interesting stuff going on there, so I'll make sure to discuss that and get into the details of that. And then going to discuss a little bit about Marian Hossa and him getting inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. And of course, we got a little bit of other stuff as we usually do during some episodes. So first, probably the biggest thing going on at the moment, the draft lottery and the draft lottery results. So the draft lottery went, if you watched it, absolutely crazy. If I could describe this year's draft lottery in one word, it would be wow. I mean, I think some really could argue that this was the craziest draft lottery in the history of the NHL. I just think it just went crazy. But first I'll start out just by listing what the kind of the typical part. Picking from 8 to 2 in order is 8 at 8 Buffalo, at 7 New Jersey, 6 is Anaheim, at 5 is Ottawa, 4 Detroit, who got ripped off, 3 Ottawa from San Jose, and then finally at 2 we have the Los Angeles Kings. And then, of course, we have, due to the expanded playoffs and the modified draft lottery this year, the number one overall pick is going to go to a mystery team that loses in the play-in round. So there's obviously a possibility there that the Blackhawks could pick first overall, but for that to happen, they would have to lose their play-in series to the Edmonton Oilers. But there's also a lot of other teams playing in the qualifying rounds. We have Toronto, Columbus, Pittsburgh, Montreal, New York Islanders, Carolina, New York Rangers, Calgary, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Chicago, Vancouver, Minnesota, Nashville, and Arizona. But only 8 of those teams will end up being able to have that 1-in-8 chance in picking number 1 overall, because 8 of those teams will move on. So it's 8-8 split, 8 move on, 8 will get to pick. But kind of a topic of discussion here is, if your team is playing in the play-in round, like, would you want to see your team, like, purposefully lose their qualifying round to try and pick first? But I'd like to point out there's only a 1-in-8 chance of it. So if you're down 1-0 and, you know, your head coach makes some iffy scratches or players aren't giving it their all, would you want to see that happen just to have a 1-in-8 chance at a pick? And then say you don't get that number one pick, and then say you're picking at 15, so you lost for nothing. Especially if you're a good team, like, I mean, Toronto, Columbus could really push for it. Pittsburgh, definitely. The Islanders, maybe the Rangers, probably Edmonton, Vancouver, possibly Nashville, although they haven't been that great this year. Like, I feel like if they try to lose, I think that, because this Stanley Cup, I mean, let's face it, it's going to be one of the hardest to win, because especially if a qualifying team such as Pittsburgh does win the Stanley Cup, it's going to be the hardest to win, because you're not going through that all best of seven game series four rounds. You have prior to those best of seven series and those four playoff rounds to get to the Stanley Cup, you have the qualifying round, which is a best of five. So you already have an extra three games that you're going to have to play to even get into the playoffs, kind of. You know, like, Pittsburgh obviously would have made the playoffs if the season had not been paused and everything changed the way it did. The playoffs were expanded, all that stuff. But, I mean, it is going to be the hardest Stanley Cup to win, because you are going to have to win a couple of extra games than you normally would have. If you're a play-in team, you know, usually it's referred to the 16 wins to win the Stanley Cup, and it takes about 8 weeks. Well, qualifying round, there's probably another week or two right there, and you're going to have 19 wins to win the Stanley Cup. So you need more wins, you need to play longer for the Stanley Cup. So people saying that there's going to be an asterisk next to it, I think it's complete BS, because, I mean, it's going to be the hardest to win. You have to play more games, you have to win more games. It's going to span over a longer period of time. There's going to be more teams to beat. I think it's just, I don't think that that's an accurate statement. You look at the 2013 Blackhawks, it was half a season, 48 games, I believe, played interconference. The Blackhawks won Stanley Cup in 2013. I barely even remember the fact that it was half a season. You know, it obviously comes to mind sometimes, but when I think of the 2013 Blackhawks, I think of them as Stanley Cup champions. I don't think of them as Stanley Cup champions with an asterisk over their head, because they won it during half a season. They still won it fair and square. They beat teams. They went on an incredible streak at the beginning of the season. They beat Detroit in seven games after falling down 3-1. They won it fair and square. They won it for, they won the 16 games. They won those four playoff rounds. Won it fair and square. So there shouldn't really be an asterisk over anyone's head who wins the Stanley Cup, because at the end of the day, no matter how teams win it, Gary Bettman and Bill Daly and the NHL staff are still committed to making sure it is the hardest trophy to win in sports. And I believe that. But getting back to what I was talking about on purposely losing, I changed my mind the other day, and I shared it on my Instagram page, at Blackhawks Pulse. Before I get into what I'm going to talk about, Blackhawks.Pulse, my Instagram page, I just started a affiliation with at Pulse.Affiliation. They have great, great template makers, great support. They even have a podcast themselves. Check it out, Pulse Podcast, currently up on Spotify and Anchor. I will actually be helping distributing the podcast over to other platforms, and I helped write the description and all that stuff for the podcast. So make sure you go check that out, currently on Spotify and Anchor, but will eventually be on other platforms, such as the one you're listening on right now to my podcast. But yeah, please make sure you go check that out, because I'll have some great content coming from there. I've had their template maker show me how to make some graphics, tell me how to make some, and I just made a couple today that all by myself, so I'm pretty proud of some of those that I made. I made an awesome trade one, I think looks really good, so I got some really good content coming out there, so make sure you guys go check that out. Up-to-the-minute stats, updates, news, analysis, debates, all that stuff you guys are looking for, make sure to go check it out. Make sure to follow it. You won't miss a beat. All your Blackhawks news that you need, all that type of stuff. But going back to what I was talking about, having the Blackhawks lose purposefully to get that 1-8 chance at drafting first overall, one, it's a 1-8. It's not guaranteed. So you could end up drafting 15, 14, 13. And hockey players, when you play hockey, you're playing hockey to win the game. You're playing hockey to win a trophy. You're playing hockey to just win in general. I play hockey myself. I play hockey. When I play hockey myself, I play to win. I give it my all and I play to win. Because that's what hockey is about. Hockey is a play-to-win sport. Stan Bowman has talked about it. He said, we're not just going to tank the rest of the year. We're not going to tank next season to get a high draft pick. You play to win. Hockey players want to play to win. Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Corey Crawford, Duncan Keith, Brent Seabrook, veteran guys on this team. Even guys like Brandon Saad and Andrew Shaw, who have won 2 Cups with the Blackhawks. These veteran guys on the team who have won Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks do not want to tank. Even if they do not make the Stanley Cup final, or they do not win the Stanley Cup, they still want to play as far as they can go, play exciting hockey, keep the fans involved, keep fans watching. They want to play. They want to win the Stanley Cup. Is it a very realistic dream or very realistic statement when you say the Blackhawks can win the Stanley Cup this year? Probably not. But these guys want to win, they want to play, and guys like Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, Corey Crawford, as they hit the back, start hitting further along the back end of their career, they want to win a 4th Stanley Cup in Chicago. There are no active players at the moment who have won 4 Stanley Cups, and if Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews can do that before they retire, then that would be an amazing, and Duncan Keith too, Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, and Duncan Keith, if the three of them can hit that 4 Stanley Cup mark before they retire and be the only couple of active players in the NHL at the moment, at the time they retire, to win 4 Stanley Cups, that would be an amazing achievement for them. And I know they want that, I know they want to play to win, and I know they want to win a 4th, 5th, 6th Stanley Cup as much as the fans want to see it. So if I'm a Blackhawks fan, or I'm just a hockey fan in general, like I said, I play hockey myself, so I understand it a little bit more. But you play hockey to win. You don't play hockey to sit here and sit back and say, oh, okay, if we lose, we'll have a chance at doing this. No, that is not at all how the game of hockey works. That is not how hockey players are wired. So if you think for 1 second that your team should lose, then you are not a true fan. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's the truth. In hockey, you play to win. You always play to win. It's never no, oh, tank so you can get this. You play to win the game. That is how hockey players are wired, and that is how it should be. But going back to the draft lottery, we have Los Angeles getting the number 2 pick. I originally had projected them to pick around 4 to 5, going as bad as 6. So around 4 to 6. But they jumped 2 spots from where they were predicted at 4, and they jumped up to 2. So they can draft Quentin Byfield or Tim Stutzel, I believe is how you say his name. So they can draft them, high-end talent there, high-end talent all around in this draft, won greatly there. And while I'm on the topic of the number 2 pick, multiple sources have actually talked about Quentin Byfield possibly overtaking Alexis Lafreniere for the number 1 pick in the draft. He had, I believe, 10 more points in 5 more games. So if he were to have played, so basically if you take that ratio, if he were to have played the same number of games as Alexis, he would have 2 more points than him, or no, because it would be 5 games, 10 points, 2 points per game. Yes, so he would have an extra 2 points. Yes, okay, I believe that math is right. If not, I apologize. It's summer right now, so you can't really blame me, but I apologize if that math is wrong. He would definitely have more points than him if they had played the same number of games. If he had not scored those 10 points in 5 games, then he would still, I think, have more points than Alexis. I believe. Don't quote me on that. It is summer. But losers, Detroit, man. I mean, Detroit. Do I even have to say any more? I mean, dropping down from the number 1 projected pick down to 4 after the season that this team has had. They drop from the projected number 1 overall pick down to 4. Now, they're still going to get a high-end talent, a high-end prospect. Not as good as Alexis Lafreniere, but still a good prospect. Of course, they would have loved to get Alexis. He's the top prospect in this draft. They probably need him. They definitely need him. So, this is a major bust. Steve Yzerman actually said he was actually kind of expecting it. You know, you can't ever really... not predict, but you can't ever rely on getting that number one pick, even though you are the worst team in the league. So he said he was kind of expecting it, and he knows they're still going to get a high-end prospect, a high-end draft pick. And while he was actually talking, he talked about the draft combine, all that stuff, and he said that it's a little bit different this year because they haven't really been able to look at prospects and perform workouts with prospects as they normally would in years past. And he made this remark after making that one. He said, "All except for one, of course," referring to the Arizona Coyotes cheating scandal. So, Steve Yzerman throwing a little bit of shade over at the Arizona Coyotes, shows he wants to win. He's itching to win. If he's sitting here making remarks about other teams, trash-talking them, he obviously wants to win. Steve Yzerman wants to get things up and going. You know, and he knows it's not his coach, because he's keeping him. He's keeping him for next year. He exercised his, what, extra year contract option, whatever the hell it's called. He's keeping him. So, he knows it's not the coach. He knows they just need better roster work. And if it wasn't for players leaving, Pavel Datsyuk, Henrik Zetterberg, if it wasn't for these players leaving, then they'd probably still be a good team, but he knows he needs depth. And he's working on that. He's got Dylan Larkin, Sam Gagne he brought in. So he's working on building that depth on the Red Wings roster. But he knows it's the team. It's not his coach. It's not anyone else. It's him. He knows he has to build this team up. So that's definitely encouraging for some Red Wings fans. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick 30-second, 60-second break here. And I'll be back with you guys in 1 minute. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back onto the Chi-Town Hockey Pod with your host, Jake Golden. I forgot to mention it earlier in the episode, but listener questions, make sure to please send those in. We have the Twitter at Chi-Town Pod, the Instagram account at ChiTownHockey.pod. We have my Blackhawks-related Instagram account, which is at Blackhawks.pulse, affiliated with at pulse.affiliation. Make sure to check out their podcast, The Pulse Podcast, on Spotify and Anchor. I will help be distributing it to other platforms, such as the one you're listening on right now, as it develops and we release more episodes, and I will also be on the podcast soon. So make sure to go check that out. Then, we also have the email, chitownhockeypod@gmail.com, and we also have my personal Twitter account, at jgolden777. So make sure to go follow those, check those out, send in any listener questions you have to those accounts, and I will make sure to get them answered on the show. But, now moving on, in terms of news a little bit, we have a little bit of CBA agreement news, as the NHL and the NHLPA work toward a new agreement. So, news broke a couple days ago, about 4 days ago, that a part of the new NHL CBA deal, the salary cap will have to remain at / around $81.5 million for the next 3 seasons. Don't really know what they mean by at or around. I know at, obviously, that's pretty self-explanatory, but around, not really sure if that means it goes up by 500k or a million or 250k. But right now, if I were to guess, it would probably just stay at 81.5. But however, there is actually potential for the salary cap to go up by $1 million prior to the 2022-23 NHL season. So the over 700 players in the NHL will either vote for or against this extension, and then in order to ensure that teams and players split all hockey-related revenue, the NHL and the NHLPA will retain a percentage of each player's salary, which is also known as escrow, during one season, or the season. So the NHL and the NHLPA will retain a percentage of each player's salary, which is escrow, during all three of the seasons, the next three seasons. An extra piece of the potential deal would also involve a 10% salary deferral by every player for only one season, which I'm guessing would be next year. And then the money would eventually be returned to the players. However, the escrow on it would be a greater amount. Okay, I know it's a lot to follow there. Then, multiple players, including Ryan Kesler and former Blackhawk Artemi Panarin, have both stated their frustrations in terms of high escrow levels, and they both say it protects the NHL owner's income. And then reportedly, negotiations for the new CBA deal have been linked to the return to play talks. And then Artemi Panarin also blasted NHL owners the other day, saying that players should not report to training camp, which is set to open on July 10th, until a deal is reached. And then Carey Price also stated Thursday, I wouldn't feel comfortable voting at this particular time amid the uncertainties surrounding the NHL's return to play plan and the coronavirus pandemic. So I know it's a lot to follow there. So basically the escrow is, I believe it would be a little bit higher of an escrow the next three seasons. And then in one season, which I'm guessing would be next year, there will be a salary deferral, which will eventually be returned to players in the coming years. But once they return it, there will be higher escrow levels on it. I know that's a lot to understand. If you need any clarity, send in the questions. You guys know where to find me. So, now I want to move on a little bit to something a little bit controversial, probably more with other NHL fans and other hockey fans and people in the world outside of Blackhawks fans who kind of understand it. So, right now at the moment, a lot of social justice warriors are demanding for the Chicago Blackhawks to change their, quote, racist and, quote, inconsiderate logo. So, this is a quote from my Instagram account that I wrote by myself. This is not stolen from anybody. With the Blackhawks being started 94 years ago in 1926, the owner slash founder of the team decided to name it after the Native American tribe that he himself commanded, the Blackhawk tribe. All the tribe members were referred to as the Blackhawks. The owner named his team in honor, tributation, and with respect for the tribe he dearly commanded. But now in 2020, things have drastically changed. People are calling for the Blackhawks to change their logo, calling it offensive to the Native American culture. However, what these people aren't really realizing is the Wirtz has kept the name after Arthur bought the team in the 1940s, I believe, 40s or 50s, to keep the tribute going. The Blackhawks don't play Native American music at games. The announcer doesn't announce goals or penalties in a Native American voice. Tommy Hawk represents a Blackhawk that fought for the countries, not mocking one of today's Native Americans. In 1926, this wasn't an issue. Okay, it wasn't an issue in 1970, it wasn't an issue in 2000, it was barely an issue in 2010. wasn't even an issue in 2015, but for some reason, now with everything going on in the world, all the things going on with the black people, all the black people being murdered for crimes that they committed, then it all of a sudden becomes a problem. Because people are trying to feel powerful, trying to make themselves feel better, because, oh, we're going to get Rocky Wirtz to change the law. You're not going to get Rocky Wirtz to change the law. You going on your Twitter burner account and commenting all this crap that the Blackhawks don't even look at isn't going to get you anywhere. Okay, it just isn't. Like, in past years, people knew this was a tribute. People were proud that they were being, that there was a tribute to these Native Americans that fought for the country. Nowadays, it's all PC and politically correct, and, oh, you're mocking a Native American, or, oh, Tommy Hawk is making fun of Native Americans. That is not at all how it works. If there was an issue, then it would have been addressed a long, 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 long freaking time ago. Okay? It would have. It's just such a stupid, stupid, absolutely stupid topic to discuss. I literally don't even know what else to say on the issue. Then these people have no life and they need to just shut up. Because I don't see how it really is offensive. I mean, you are honoring Black Hawk Native Americans. Listen to this. You're honoring Black Hawk Native Americans. The team is called the Blackhawks and the logo is a Blackhawk. The logo is not of one of today's Native Americans. There is war paint on there, there are feathers on there. That is not what one of today's Native American people look like. They don't walk around with feathers on their head. They don't walk around with war paint on their face. They just don't. This represents a Black Hawk Indian from hundreds of years ago, a hundred years ago, that fought for the country. It doesn't represent today's Native American. The logo is of a Black Hawk 100 years ago with the war paint, with the feathers. Native Americans today, like I said, don't walk around with that stuff on their face. So how are they being inconsiderate and racist to today's Native Americans? They've had the logo since 1926. So they didn't think, oh, it's 1926, let's wait 94 years. Oh, and in 94 years, these Native Americans are going to be, let's piss off these Native Americans in 2020 and make our logo a Native American. Like, that is not how it works. Okay, that's not how it works. You can sit here and freaking make a logo of a team that has two freaking heads. And you know what? In 100 freaking years, in 2120, you know what? Maybe people will be able to make people with two heads. Hell, I don't know. Make a logo of a flying car. In 2120, there's probably going to be flying cars, flying Uber, flying Lyft, whatever. You're not making fun of it. Okay, people didn't, like, there were not a lot of Native Americans back then in 1926 who did not fight for the country. Now there's a lot more Native Americans who have just been passed down through their generation. It's not that they're trying to be racist towards them, they're honoring people who fought for the country, okay? Like, they can name, like, if they were to name a team after a certain soldier, the army, or something like that, like, you're honoring them. You're not racist. You're not racist to people who are in the army 100 years from now or 94 years from now. You're honoring the people today, and that tribute carries on that many years. This tribute of the Black Hawk Indians have carried on all these many years. They haven't carried on be racist towards people in 2020. Okay, that's not how it works. It carries on because it's a tribute. Like, people just don't really understand that. And I think that's something that makes me angry as a Blackhawks fan, because I realize it, you know? I realize what is going on. I realize the story. And to me, personally, it's just not right. I don't think there needs to be any talk around the Blackhawks logo. And you know what? Until the Washington Redskins logo is changed, don't even think about coming at the Blackhawks. Because the Washington Redskins logo literally looks like a freaking person. The Blackhawks is just a face with some feathers on it. Freaking Washington Redskins looking over here, mother freaking looking like an actual person. So you know what? Don't freaking come at the Blackhawks till you got the freaking Red Indian over there changed. Okay? That's just not how it works. I'm your host, Jake Golden. Welcome back to the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. This last segment, I now want to get into the induction of Marian Hossa to the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer this year. At age 41, his first year of eligibility to be nominated into the Hockey Hall of Fame, Marian Hossa having 1,309 games played, scoring over 500 goals, 525 to be exact, over 600 assists, 609, and then over 1,000 points with 1,134, and then with a 245 plus minus. Absolutely crazy. So, he, as many of you know, he won 3 Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks, and he was on the losing end of the 2008 Stanley Cup Final. He was with the Pittsburgh Penguins. And then he was on the losing end of the 2009 Stanley Cup Final when he was with the Detroit Red Wings. And he originally thought of himself as a curse. And when it came to the 2010 Stanley Cup Final, his third straight Stanley Cup Final he had been in, he thought, now if we really lose this one, he knows he's a curse. But they ended up winning 2010, went on to win 2013 and 2015 with Marian Hossa. Finally, he ended up having to retire or be placed on long-term injured reserve in 2017 due to the medical condition he had by wearing his equipment when he would get sweaty and stuff. It caused a skin condition, all that stuff. So he ended up having to retire. He stated the other day, I mean, if I could have played longer, if I didn't have this condition I had, he would have certainly liked to have played longer, you know, but he said, you know, you just don't want to mess with things like that, because, you know, you don't want to make it worse. So obviously sucks that we could have Marian Hossa with us at the moment, but yes, like he said, things like that are not something that you want to mess with. He said he had a few years left in the NHL. So it really does just suck that he ended up having to retire early, not be able to play his whole career that he would have liked. But certainly an honor for Marian Hossa himself to be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. Definitely an underrated player with the Blackhawks during his dynasty years. Didn't really get as much credit as he deserved. He was a very good two-way forward while scoring a pretty decent amount of goals. So in the 2012-13 season when they won the cup, he had 17 goals in 40 games. 2010, 57 games, he had 24 goals. And then in 2015, he had 22 goals. Then in his last campaign in the NHL, in 16-17, he had 26 goals. So he's a pretty consistent goal scorer around that 20 to 30 mark. Typically around 22 to 25, so he's a pretty consistent goal scorer his whole career, especially with the Blackhawks. Drafted by the Ottawa Senators, played his first NHL season in 1997 and 1998. Played with Ottawa up until 2003-2004 season, then headed to Atlanta, the Atlanta Thrashers, from 2005 up to 2008, and then in 2008, he was with Pittsburgh, 2009, he was with Detroit, and then 2010 to 2017, he was with the Chicago Blackhawks. So, a pretty good career for Marian Hossa. Always loved watching him. Great player, provided a lot to the team, very underrated. If there was one player I could probably bring back from each championship, probably the 2010 would probably be Hossa, 2013 probably Hjalmarsson. And then 2015, probably Teuvo Teravainen, actually. He's been playing pretty good. But Yeah, Hossa definitely one of those players. It stings to have to let go of him, but definitely brings you a little closure as a fan to see him be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame and then possibly considering a future front office job with the Blackhawks. So that would be great to have Marian Hossa back up into the organization. So, yeah, that would be awesome to see Marian Hossa back in Chicago as a Blackhawk. Not as a player, but as a front office. I think he could be a great coach if they ever decide to let Jeremy Colleton go. So, yeah. And then one more thing I want to talk about is I listed my top five arenas with at NHL Newsroom on Instagram the other day. I'll read his first. He has Bell Center at number one, T-Mobile Arena at number two, Madison Square Garden at three, Bridgestone Arena at four, and then Bell MTS Place at five. Certainly some good arenas, probably would place Bell MTS Place a little bit lower on the list, but now here are mine. There may be a little bias in this, but I'm pretty sure, I mean, I've been to the United Center, I watch every game, like, we definitely have the best fans in the league. It's the biggest arena for hockey, so I mean, number one, like, obviously the United Center. I mean, just a great atmosphere there. Players love playing in Chicago. Like, the United Center, like, even as not as a Blackhawks fan, I think would still be up there. Just because player, like, so many players have stated that their number one arena to play in, like, the best atmosphere to play in is Chicago. So, number one, United Center. Number two, Bell Center, there's just that feeling about it. Then Madison Square Garden, that feeling, New York, that arena, the New York Rangers. Number four, I put Staples Center because there just seems to be a great atmosphere there, especially when the Kings run the playoffs, especially when we play them in the Western Conference Final. There just always seemed to be that kind of atmosphere tied to Staples Center. And then at five, I did put Amalie Arena. Some people might disagree with this one, but I actually lived in Orlando for about 5.5 years of my life. So I actually went to Amalie Arena before they changed the name. When I went, it was still the Tampa Bay Times Forum. So right before they changed the name to Amalie Arena, still named Tampa Bay Times Forum, I went and saw the Blackhawks play the Lightning. We sadly lost 6-5 in overtime. Nikolai Hobby-Bulin was in net. Devastating loss. It was my first Blackhawks game ever, many, many years ago. But there was a great atmosphere to it. I remember walking in. It was just amazing. You know, they got the lightning bolts up there when the Lightning score. All that stuff. Just seems like a great atmosphere. Tampa, obviously, a great city right next to the water. So, Amalie Arena would definitely up there for me. But yeah, so I think I got to all the news I want to get to today. A good amount of stuff is going on right now. But yeah, I think that's everything for this episode. I'd like to thank you guys for listening to this edition of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Golden. Make sure to send in those listener questions over to the Twitter, at Chi-Town Pod, the Instagram page, at ChiTownHockey.pod, my Blackhawks-related Instagram account, at Blackhawks.pulse, my personal Twitter account, at JakeGolden777, and the Gmail account, ChiTownHockeyPod@gmail.com. So make sure to send those in. I know you guys would love to hear your questions answered. I love to answer your questions. So please, please, please make sure you do send those in. Once again, I would like to thank you guys for listening to this episode of the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. I am your host, Jay Golden. I hope to see you guys in the next episode, which will be released on Friday at 5 a.m. I will be getting back onto the regular schedule for the podcast during the off-season / no play time, that being Tuesdays and Fridays, 5 a.m. Central release. So make sure you guys tune in then. That'll be coming out. A good amount of talk will be, well, actually, the NHL will have released their Hub Cities by then, so there will be a lot of talk around that. Some good news coming out there as players start relocating, start getting back into Phase 2. Couple coronavirus tests going on. That'll all be in next episode, so make sure you don't miss it. You won't want to miss it. All the news you need right here on the Chi-Town Hockey Podcast. Thank you all for listening.